Going back to the text that was read to us in 2 Timothy, verse 7. Specifically, it reads to us once again. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I want you to imagine with me that you are coming close to the end of your life. And as you come to the end of your life, if you had the right to letter to someone, maybe your loved one, maybe your children, maybe your friend, what type of advice would you give them? Would you tell them to get all the money you can in life, in all the positions that are out there? Would you share with them to love one another? Would you continue to encourage them to keep on keeping on in the face of difficult times? Would you discourage them from doing some things? What exactly, at the end of your life, if you wrote a letter to somebody else, what advice would you give them? The same thing was happening here within the letter of 2 Timothy. For we find that Paul had written 1 Timothy and now has written the second letter to Timothy. And we find out that Paul is near the end of his life, that he is reflecting on all the good things and all the bad things and all of his ministry that he has conducted on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that as we reflect back on our lives, some of the things that we reflect on are not necessarily positive. For we find that Paul was not one who followed the way when it started out, for he was the one who was holding the coats when his name was Saul, when those of Stephen and others were being stoned. We find out that Paul, ever since he had given his life to Christ, had not been an easy road. For he had been through beatings. He had been through imprisonments. He had been through people saying good stuff to his face, but talking about him behind his back. He had been with those who had stayed with him for a little while, but then those who had deserted him. We can imagine that Paul had been through a whole lot of things. And as he sat here in the jail in Ephesus, we find out that he couldn't keep all this to himself, but yet he wanted to pass on some advice to those that he had been in ministry with. And as he had done so, he decided to write this letter to Timothy. And we find out that Timothy not only was a co-worker with Paul in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he was also a faithful colleague. You see, Timothy was active in the work of the churches in Thessalonians and also in Corinth. He had been there with Paul, or even after Paul, spreading the word. Maybe Paul, in a sense, was a mentor to him as he lived out his faithful life teaching others about the gospel. And not only that, Timothy was a co-sender, along with Paul, of 6 of the Pauline letters. See, we don't hear a whole lot about Timothy, but we do find out, if we do some research, that Timothy was very, very important to Paul on the ministry of Jesus Christ here in this place. And like anybody else, as we think about what we have done and want to pass down some of the knowledge that we have received, Paul is saying the same things to him, or wanting to communicate the same things to him. Paul wanted to give Timothy some advice about what it means to tell others about Jesus, because Paul had been there before. And not only had Paul been there before, you know, if you're giving somebody else some advice, hopefully of a situation that you have been through before, you want to give them some wisdom. You want to give them some knowledge. And you don't want them to fall into the same traps and the same discouragement that you have been before. Now, there are times in which we try to encourage our children and try to encourage those who come in behind us. Okay, you need to watch out for this. But you know, sometimes you can't tell everybody everything. They have to find out some things for themselves. But Paul was trying to let Timothy know as much as possible what he needed to know to deal with the people, because let's face it, what was going on back in that time as the ministry of Jesus Christ was being spread there, we find out that Paul, as well as Timothy, had faced some false teachers. Some who were saying, do this and do that, and that you'll receive salvation. Some of them were saying, you still need to follow the Jewish rites in order to be a part of this particular church. Some of them were saying that maybe you need to give up your money and your time and your wealth to the church and receive very little in return. Maybe some of them are like some of our pastors today. When we talk about a prosperity ministry, you show me your W-2 and your taxes, and you'll be all right. That you can be a part of this particular congregation. But yet we find out that as Timothy was dealing with false teachers, and as Paul was dealing with false teachers, we too today have some things we could tell somebody about the church. Paul had loved Timothy and wanted Timothy to know exactly what he was getting himself into. And knowing that Paul was no longer going to be around forever as he was passing this along. And so out of all the things that Paul was giving unto Timothy, he was giving him encouragement. And the same words that he was giving Timothy today are the same words that we can benefit from as we go out into the world. So we find out that the Lord did not give us a spirit of cowardice. If you find yourself working on behalf of Jesus Christ, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have come to let you know, as Paul was telling Timothy, there are many times that you will be afraid. There are many times that you will be scared. There are many times that you will want to run away. There are many times in which you will become discouraged. There are many times in which you will wonder, why in the world I am doing this? I could do something for far cheaper that costs less on my body and my mind. We find out that the spirit of cowardice sometimes rule our churches and rule our lives. That we think about scarcity instead of God who gives us abundance. We find out that within the church, a spirit of cowardice means that we are failing to face the issues of the world and want to run away into something else. But brothers and sisters, there are so many things that are going on that we can't run away. See, the spirit of cowardice makes a church a country club instead of a church without a pastor. We find out today that there are churches and there are organizations that do not want to do anything with the ways of the world. But we do understand that God calls us not to be in the world, but not of the world. We find out, brothers and sisters, that today, as Paul is communicating to Timothy what he needs to do, we are not allowed, or we should not have a spirit of cowardice, but we should have a spirit of power. You see, God calls us to exercise the power that God has given us. And the power that we have does not come from us, it comes from God. Because as Reformed theological people here in the Presbyterian Church, we understand that God is sovereign. God is in control of all things, and God loves us, and God gives us the gifts for ministry today. You see, God has given you power. Y'all look like y'all sleep. Let me say it again. God has given you power. God has given you power. Now, let me break it down for you. The power that you have is not anything that you have contrived by yourself. So we see the world all over. All we have to do is to look at the news every day. All we have to do is see the situation in which we find ourselves, that people have power. And most of the time, the people who have power, it has been given to them by somebody else because of their status, because of their position, because of their material items. But God does not deal in that. God gives us power in different ways. The power that we have is the power of love, the power of forgiveness, the power of compassion, the power of helping somebody else, the power of encouragement. That is what God gives us. And as we look at What Paul has done, who fall in the ways of Jesus Christ, that is what Jesus Christ has done. We have power to do well, or we have power to do bad. And when we have this power, it doesn't mean that we should lord it over people. Like we are the master and they are the servant. Yesterday when I was teaching the book of order, polity, to the churches up there in Cotton Memorial and Timothy Darling and St. Paul Presbyterian churches, I had them go through the principles of Presbyterian government in the book of order. And one of the things that it says in there is that ruling elders are in charge of the church along with the minister, but it should not lord it over them. And it says that in black and white. Because when we get some power, what we want to do? We want to create a hierarchy, do we not? That some are more important than others. Because that's what the world teaches us. But we have to remember once again that we are in the world, but not of the world. We are to follow the ways of Christ. And the power that Jesus Christ gives us does not break others down, but it allows them to use their gifts and skills for the body of Christ no matter where we are. Power means that we give instead of taking. That we give encouragement to somebody else. That we give hope to somebody else. That we give love to somebody else. And as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, that we give peace to somebody else. See, the power that God gives us is that we have to share it with others. We have to be able to empower others. As we talked about our children just here a few minutes ago, when they are discouraged, we are called to encourage. When they fail in life or do a situation badly, we are called to lift them up, to say that we've been there before and let them know that no matter where they are, that God still loves them as they are and God will continue to lift them up. We find out today that many of us who have been here, or no, many of us who have been here, many of us who are here today, somebody has shared something with you. Amen. That you've been through something. That you feel like you didn't have any power, any control over any type of the circumstances in which you find yourself. But somebody prayed for you. Somebody lifted you up. Somebody said a good word to you, even you didn't want to hear it. And they didn't, look, and when somebody tells you something that you know you need to know, but you didn't want to know, the first thing we do, they're all in my business. Don't we say that? Why are they in my business? But we never figure out the intent of what the person said because we're all in our feelings. But once we step back a little bit and see what's going on within our situation, we find out what they gave us was a good word because more than likely they've been through it before. We find out that God gives us a spirit of power, and that power must be used, not must be, the power should be used to encourage others in their lives. And God gives us a spirit of love. You see, because God is love. God created the world in love. God created nature in love. God created you in love. And the reason why we don't possess the spirit of love, because there's too much hatred going on in the world and in the church. We find out, brothers and sisters, today that as we live our lives, it seems like hatred has a greater hold on us than love. You can't even go outside and not worry about what's going to happen to you. Used to be, if you had a disagreement with somebody, you go outside and fight with them, hand to hand. But you know, we were already taught, you know, you don't hit them until they hit you first, right? And then you got in trouble, and then you went home. Sometimes your mama spanked you if you hit them first. But then I don't know how it was in your house. With me, it was like, did they hit you first? Yeah, they hit me first. Okay, that's all right then. You gotta defend yourself. But you can't do that now. Because you don't know what people are carrying. You don't know what people have. You can go on down the street, someone cuts you off in your car, you honk your horn, you're taking a chance. Because somebody could pull something that will hurt you. You go down the street today, someone bumps into you, you're lucky if someone says, I'm sorry. Some might get upset at you. Some might start calling you names and blame you for something you never even did before. We find out today that people find themselves self-centered and not able to share their gifts and skills with somebody else. And we would rather discourage and defame and talk about somebody else other than loving people for who they are. And then what we want to do, instead of loving them who they are, we want them to change. Now, you know, if it's hard enough for us to change, why are we going to ask somebody else to change? And you know, you can't change anybody else. Look, we can barely change ourselves. God calls us to have a spirit of love because love is what God is. And God personified that love by sending us God's Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to love. We find out today that the world needs love because there are so many people who are walking around who are broken, who are on their last stand, who have been discouraged, who've been dissed, who've been talked about, who have been put out. And God calls us, the church, to have the spirit of love. Now, the people who come in the four walls of this church may not look like you, may not dress like you, may not have the same pedigree as you, but that still does not call us to treat them any differently. It calls us that we must love them as they are and to help them use their gifts and skills for the body of Christ where they are. And yet God calls us also to have the spirit of discipline, of self-discipline. You got to control yourself. You got to control yourself. That means if we follow Christ, you can't do, or you're not supposed to do, what you want to do. Because it's not about you. It's about the one who has created us and made us even before we even came out of the womb. You see, we belong to a world, what I call all the time, is a DIY, do-it-yourself world. But no, with Christ, you can't do it yourself. Because you didn't come here by yourself. You didn't dress yourself. You didn't wake yourself up. You didn't drive yourself. Nothing that you have is by yourself. It is only through the Spirit of God that we have what we have. And we ought to be thankful and grateful every day to a God that wakes us up every morning to experience life in its fullness. And even when we don't experience that fullness, to know that the hope that will continue to guide us past the difficult times is a hope that we look for not only for ourselves, but for everybody else within the world. You see, it was the discipline of Paul as he was going to the different churches that had supported him and sustained him. Can you imagine going from church to church in different cities, Thessalonica and Galatia and Corinth and all the different people that he had to deal with the different customs and the different ways of doing things. But yet he still had a self-discipline to know that it was not about him. Even when things became difficult, it was about the God that he served. You see, we are guided by God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to be committed, y'all. If you have self-discipline, you have to know what you know and no one discourage you from what you know. We have to be the ones who are called to go out there into the world knowing that God has created me good, and because what the world tells me, I don't have to believe in that. But I only believe in what God has called me to be. Brothers and sisters, we are called to go out today to not have a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. We should not be fearful of what happens to us. Yes, we know that people will talk about us, and sometimes we may be in danger of our lives. But if we truly put our hand in the hand of God, we know that we are not going to be here forever like Paul, that we have a home. None of us are homesick right now, but we have a home. That we have a place with God, and that we are able to go forth being empowered by the Spirit of God who has allowed us to do great things. I listened to Kanye Dawes. She's an African-American neo-soul singer, and she has this song called Letter. And the song is about writing a letter to her son who was growing up. And she talks about that, son, make sure you pay attention to your elders. They have a lot of wisdom. Make sure you put your hand in God's hand. Make sure you continue to do the best that you possibly can. But the refrain of that song says, I want you to know, wherever you go, take my words. These things are true. These words are for you. I wrote this letter because I love you. Paul wrote that letter to Timothy because he loved him. And God wrote this letter to us because God loves us. That God has empowered us through the Spirit to do great things. God has empowered us to love somebody. God has empowered us to bring health to somebody, to encourage somebody. That is what we're called today. We can't go back to that spirit of cowardice. But have that spirit of power today, brothers and sisters. And if you're able to do that, you can understand what Kanye Daw said. I wrote this letter because I love you. And I want you to succeed. I wrote this letter because I know that there's going to be some difficult times in the church and in my life. But you can keep on keeping on. I know I wrote this letter because the relationship that I was in has ended. But you still love me even through the brokenheartedness. I know that I wrote you this letter because some days you're not going to have enough money to do what you need to do. But I still will provide. I wrote this letter because someday you're going to be hungry. But I still will give you my word. Brothers and sisters, today, know that God wrote this letter because he loved you. Amen.
Amen.
Our invitational hymn is number 316, Breathe on Me, Breath.